We're at the SES Controllers Conference in Marysville, and I'm with the Emergency Services Commissioner, Andrew Crisp. Good afternoon, Andrew. How are you? And welcome to UGFM.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, and I've really enjoyed attending the Unit Controllers Conference.
Tell us a bit about your role as the Emergency Management Commissioner.
Well, I guess in broad terms, I have responsibility, but working with so many other great organisations and people to ensure the state is prepared for, can respond to and recover from emergencies.
UGFM is obviously an emergency broadcaster. Mm. We play a vital role in part of disseminating information out to the general community. Obviously, we're a part of the pie.
Yeah, look, and again, thank you for what you do in terms of being one of those emergency broadcasters. You know, we rely so heavily on getting our messaging out, our warnings out. We know that when we look at the last summer that we've just had, you know, nearly 5,000 fires. This summer compared to last summer, we put out about 135 emergency warnings compared to only about 35 last year. And again, we can only do that through various platforms, social media, but our emergency broadcasters. So you play a critical role in terms of the sector and keeping our communities safe.
Now, you've been in the role how long now?
August the 13th last year, so what, 10 months?
Your previous life, what was your previous life? Tell our listeners a little bit about your previous life.
Yeah, sure. So I was just shy of 40 years with Victoria Police. I finished up as a Deputy Commissioner responsible for regional operations. A number of different roles. Had the opportunity to work overseas in Papua New Guinea and East Timor. I've worked down at Warrnambool as a senior constable. So that was a little bit of my country experience. I guess if we go to some significant events in Victoria, if we talk Black Saturday, I was a divisional superintendent at Knox. So I actually had responsibility for Yarra Rangers and those areas that were impacted. But the police region at that time actually took in Alex and Marysville and the most significantly impacted areas, and I ran the ops centre for the region. So I saw a lot, experienced a lot, as many others did over that tragic time.
And of course, we're here in Marysville, which is one of those heavily impacted communities, wasn't it?
Exactly, and I guess everyone that comes to Marysville that's got some history around that particular time, you know, can't help but, you know, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. And I was not directly impacted. You know, I had the opportunity only a few months ago coming up to a CFA event here, and my apologies, I can't remember who was the CFA captain at the time, but he spoke to us and took us to the footy oval and explained what happened Glenn, exactly. And incredible man, an incredible story. So again, you know, this is a special place for people from Marysville, from the region, but I think for all Victorians.
Tell us where you grew up. Where did you start life?
Well, in a place where they don't have bushfires. So I was born in England. I was there for first 12 years of my life, and then my parents made a decision to come to Australia. So we briefly moved up to Newcastle in New South Wales, but then we settled back in Dandenong, North Dandenong. So did my schooling, high school years at Lindale High School, and then did 6 months at Burwood Teachers College, and knew that wasn't for me. My grandfather back in England, my uncle back in England were policemen, and I always wanted to be a copper, but my mum steered me down this teaching path. Love my mum, but after 6 months I realised, no, I want to be a copper. So later that year I joined, September 1978, and as I said, really loved my career, but I'm enjoying this, and I said I would only leave police to do something where, again, it was about public service and community safety, and again, that's what my role is about.
Now, you're Emergency Management Commissioner. What changes do you see ahead for the emergency management sector, especially in your role?
Yeah, look, I think we've got to go to climate to start with. So we've just had our hottest summer on record, our hottest January on record. So, you know, whether you want to argue about the causes of climate change, you know, we're certainly seeing that. Even December last year, you know, long after coming into the role, you know, 201 mil up at El Dorado, you know, 100-year rain event. So how flexible, how agile are we as organisation, as a sector as a whole, to respond to those changing challenges for us? We really need this piece of work, and I keep talking about the 2030 plan. So even though there will be unknowns around what will confront us in 2030, but there are things that we know. So but what are the new, some of the new capabilities? How are we going to use technology? You know, drones are here and now, but we can use those more effectively across our sector as a whole. So I think it's really, really exciting working on what we do know, but some of those unknowns, again, we've got to be flexible and agile enough to be able to respond to those challenges.
It's interesting times ahead, isn't it? And, of course, we've got new legislation coming into Parliament at the moment. So how do you think that'll affect the volunteers and full-time officers in the emergency management role?
So the legislation around fire service reform, the establishment of Fire Rescue Victoria went into the Parliament this week. Again, you know, it's created some media interest, some interest in the in the respective organisations, whether that's CFA, MFB, SES, because looking at the what they believe could be the potential impact into road crash rescue. But I want to reassure people from the SES, they very much have that role in relation to heavy rescue, the more specialist side of road crash rescue. But I honestly think that to move with the times, to look at our fire boundaries, look at how we can have a more joined up fire services approach across the state, I think is a good thing. We're not going to rush any of this. There's going to be no change to the way any of us do business in the lead up to next summer. And it really is about a lot of consultation with a lot of people over the next 12 months or so before we actually proclaim a start date or before a date is agreed to.
Do you think one day down the track you'll see all emergency services combined? I mean, I'm talking crystal ball stuff here.
Oh, look, you know, I guess what we all must focus on primarily is about why we exist as emergency service. So that's to keep our community safe. That's so both in terms of preparedness and mitigation, then response and then recovery. If there are more efficient and effective ways for us to structure, you know, across the sector as a whole to do that, then we should always be looking at doing that. At the moment, though, we've got some of that change happening around Fire Rescue Victoria, so it's one step at a time. Yeah, I don't think I'd be doing my job if I actually wasn't talking to others, thinking, looking at what's happening nationally and internationally about what really works and putting forward ideas as I become more used to my role.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for talking with us today on UGFM, and we look forward to a long relationship as emergency broadcasters with the state.
Thank you, and again, thank you so much for what you do as an emergency broadcaster, and I look forward to coming up doing something face-to-face in your area whenever I'm invited.
Thank you, Andrew Crisp, Emergency Management Commissioner. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.